This is the New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts. In podcast 476, I'm declaring this a Trump-free zone. There will be no lurid headlines about the latest antics of the Republican frontrunner currently. There will be no long discussions of what's going to happen if he wins the Republican nomination or even the presidency, and there will be no attempt to debunk the latest nonsense from the mainstream media. No. In podcast 476, we're going to talk about something really fun, something that has always interested me. It's been very compelling for me. And I think it is becoming more and more compelling to people all over the country. In podcast 476, we're going to talk about the end of the world. Speaking of the end of the world, if you're the person at your company that has to figure out how to do the big team building exercises that most big companies have in the first and second quarter of the year, then it's the end of the world for you because it's really hard to find things that everybody wants to do. If it isn't spending all day in a hotel conference room with a cold coffee and the whiteboard, and how many of us have sat in those rooms where they bring in the speaker and you just sit there and the coffee's terrible. It takes about an hour for the coffee to go cold. And then the sandwiches and the white, you know, it's just so funny. If you're not doing that, then it's dragging somebody off to some cliff somewhere for rope climbing, whitewater rafting, rappelling down some cliff, or walking across coals even. And all this is great for the company athlete or the guy at the company that loves this stuff, but for the person that doesn't do that stuff and doesn't like that stuff, then it can be terrifying. So here's the deal. If you suggest new team building exercises, or you are the person who has to plan these things, listen up. If you're the CEO, listen up, because I'm going to tell you how to book a great, new, sophisticated, and fun way to bond with employees here in St. Louis Park, Minnesota, right in the Twin Cities. It's Brush Studio in the West End in St. Louis Park. Brush Studio events are held in a relaxed social setting. What happens is an artist will guide your team through a featured painting step by step. And don't freak out because it's not about painting. You don't have to have any experience. But what happens is it's this great social fun experience. Your people are going to be amazed at what they're able to create in the end. And of course, the people that run Brush Studio are event planning ninjas. So it's going to be a good time. And it's a great opportunity for all the people on your team to bond without having to walk across coals. Brush Studio events are designed for left brain people to bring out the right brain, and that means ideas. So they're going to come away thinking about things in a different way. And it is so much better than spending all day in a hotel conference room with the cold coffee. So they have room for 55 people at Brush Studio, plus catering from Crave in the West End, so it's really good. Brush Studio features over 22 brands of beer and an extensive wine collection, so that's cool. Here's what you do. Check out the Brush Studio banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page, or you can visit brushstudio.net, or you can just reach out to them. They will tell you all about how it works. 952-236-1700, 952-236-1700, Brush Studio. And I'm taking a friend to one of these events soon, so I'm going to give you a direct experience. I can't wait. I'm back in town, so I can't wait to go to a Brush Studio event. And thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. I have a long list of things which could end the world. And some of these have been gleaned from the internet and YouTube. And some of these I've thought about for years or have talked with people about them for years. So here's the list. It's not an alphabetical order, just as I thought of it. So I wrote some stuff down. Aliens. You know, I don't need to explain the alien threat. The Planet X or Planet Nibiru. Planetary alignments. You can look all these up and you'll get the phone book. Climate change or global warming, depending on how you talk about it. Asteroid and comet strikes. Disease and famine. Disease and famine due to genetically modified bugs, plants, and even people. Artificial intelligence. Race war. Interdimensional beings. The Antichrist. Oh, wait, I said I wouldn't talk about Trump. The return of the actual Christ. The return of the Mahdi. the final battle at Armageddon, predictions of Nostradamus, the Mayan calendar, revelations, the Pleiadians, who are supposedly the closest aliens to us, the Greys, the massive base on the dark side of the moon, the massive base on Mars, the war between the haves and the have-nots in this country and the world, peak oil, peak labor, and on it goes. I'm sure that you will have headings that you can add to this list that I haven't mentioned. And again, all you have to do is enter any of these into Google and you will get the phone book, as the saying goes, not only advancing theories, but debunking those theories as well. And those are usually half as fun as the theories themselves. And then there are the conspiracy theories, the Bilderbergers and the Illuminati, to name two big ones, the reptilian alien conspiracy, which is another alien thing, and the aliens still running the planet, and so on and so on. In all these cases, there's something called special knowledge. This is something that the writer or the narrator only knows about, and he or she is presenting it to you. And once you have this special knowledge and believe it, then you will be one of the initiates. And usually the special knowledge is something called the truth, and it's possessed, again, by the acolytes espousing the theories or the original originators of the theories. Any disagreement is responded to with disdain and statements to the effect that the doubter is asleep, and if he or she would only wake up to the truth, you know the rest. I've done podcasts about this word, the truth, and what it means. Truth is an overused word to describe a very strong opinion. That's what truth means, even though that's not what it means. A lot of the religious communities are awash with this kind of thinking today. The end times are back, and they are here. Jesus is coming back soon. And I know this because I know the truth. And if you follow the truth, you will be able to discern what they're doing. You'll know all kinds of things. You'll understand the Illuminati rituals being practiced, and you'll understand the masonry going on and everything else. And I don't know. I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I've watched hours of these YouTube videos, and I don't know what to think. Forget the fact that the best thing to do is usually to ask these people for a date. When will they take over? And soon just isn't going to work. I always say, no, I need to know when. Like, is it next Monday? Is it going to be January 5th, 2017? And then I ask for a time. What time? Why do you want to know what time? Well, I need to be ready. So I need to know if it's going to be noon or 3 o'clock or zero dark 30. When's it going to happen? Anyway, as I observe the political process, I'm surprised to note that people will start a conversation referring to the politician I told you I would not talk about by saying, you know, they'll say his name and then they'll say, what do you think's going on? Like, what's going on, depending on what part of the political spectrum they're from? And I usually respond with something like, well, I think people have been acting strange since the eclipse. And by the way, I do think people have been acting strange since the eclipse, but anyway. And usually they'll say something like, and they'll come up with, and this is, you know, this isn't just limited to just anybody. This is a lot of people will say, well, you know what I think? I think it's the end of the world. Or they'll say, I think the world is ending. These are rational people that say this. I think it's the end of the world. It's an interesting choice of words. I know people who have already withdrawn because they're convinced the apocalypse is coming. I did a podcast about it a while back, but this is something that you need to keep hosing down if you're in this business. And I'm so tired of trying to talk about what's going on in the political sphere. If you spend any time on YouTube, and I spend, as I said, a lot of time on YouTube lately. I love YouTube. You're going to see all kinds of predictions, videos, instructions about what's going to happen, how we're supposed to recognize it. When it's going to happen, usually not really. It's just usually in the near future sometime. We don't know when, but it's going to happen. And then there are astrological predictions, religious predictions. All of them have their associated videos, and they all contain special knowledge, better known as the truth, loads and loads of commentary, all kinds of fractals, and so many sidebars that, you know, if you wanted to debunk what they were saying, it would take you a lifetime. So most of the time, nobody pays any attention to debunking it because it would take you forever. Actually, I've been hearing this stuff all my life in one form or another. It started as little pamphlets that people would hand you. And then we would sit around as kids in the neighborhood and talk about this kind of stuff. And then at parties, and as time went on, you know, it's kind of worked its way into the media. This is the kind of apocalyptia that dominates fundamentalist religion, especially in the Middle East and Eastern Europe. And it isn't confined to one faith, by the way. A lot of people on the Christian side think it's just Muslims, but it's everywhere. And it's usually loaded with all kinds of conspiracy theory. And you would be surprised at the number of people who believe things because they believe them. What about supernatural stuff? That too, the ESP and the ghosts and the hauntings and those who have supposedly returned from the dead, getting messages from angels, things like that. And, you know, I'd have to say maybe, maybe not. I think usually, though, no. I will tell you, I come from a psychic family, and most of the time that stuff, when they're right, they are very right, and it is very, very rare, and it can be explained. Anybody who says that they're a psychic, a real true psychic has to be right all the time. In order to be a prophet, they have to be 100% right. So what is going on? Well, the world is ending, in a sense. And I think it's an interesting, as I said, choice of words that people use when they talk about this stuff. They say, well, the world is ending. And in a sense, it is. And I don't think everyone understands what is happening in detail, so they seek explanations. Planet X is coming. There's a whole theory of cycles of time and ages and energy going back to the Egyptians. There are so-called native texts from the Navajo in the Western United States to Pacific Islanders, the famous white bull or white buffalo, all sorts of religious miracles in Eastern Europe that are supposed to usher in the end times. Even in Long Island, New York, there's all this talk about the fourth secret of the Fatima and all this stuff. And you know, it's this or that. So it easily explains what's going to happen. Well, how do I explain what's going on? When people say, what's going on, how would I actually explain it? And the answer is to say first, well, what is going on? And people will say, well, don't you think the weather has been weird lately? And I do think it's been weird. But what does it mean if it's been weird? Weather events occur on a cycle. We have warm winters. We have cold winters. We have wet summers. We have hot summers. We have storms and hurricanes and tornadoes. And of course, springtime, especially where I live in the upper Midwest, is always volatile. Climate scientists, even the ones who are, you know, strong supporters of the idea of global warming, aren't sure about these things. And they certainly don't point to causation necessarily of any one phenomena of weather. So no, not really. I don't know what it means. I don't know that it's anything to write home about. As I said, it's Minnesota and it's March. And here, it can be 70 one week and we can have a snowstorm the next. And we probably will. For people listening in other parts of the country, I've lived here a long time and you never know what you're going to get in March. And the same thing down in Chicago. You never know. Now, spring comes earlier down there because it's a few hundred miles south. But I can remember March days growing up in Chicago when it was 75 degrees and the next day we'd have snow. Don't you think people have been acting weird lately? Actually, I do think people have been acting weird lately, but I haven't conducted a scientific study of people acting weird. You would first have to objectively define weird. You would have to figure out a way to measure that objective definition of weird. And at that point, my brain starts to shut off. But it's just a feeling I have. And it could mean something. It might not. It probably doesn't. It's probably me that's acting weird. So what's going on? What's really happening? Well, do you feel like things are strange? Do you look at the current political cycle and think to yourself, what the hell? What is going on? Do you look at the state of the world economy and think, what's going on? Because there's a lot going on in the world. There are big issues with debt and demand worldwide and not in the normal way that we've thought about it for the past 30, 40 years, like inflation and so forth. We have very slow or no economic growth, and that has anyone who knows anything about economics or business either slightly concerned, downright worried. You have the European Central Bank doing negative interest rates. You have the United States Federal Reserve playing all kinds of games with the money in order to quote-unquote stimulate demand. There are issues with foreign policy, whether we're talking about North Korea, Iran, the rise of ISIS in the Middle East. Then there are immigration issues in Europe and the United States. And there are real human issues that go on. There are issues about family, and there are issues about racism, and there are inequality and quality of life issues. And then there is ignorance. There are also people in politics and the media, especially, who take advantage of those issues to fan the flames of fear because they have to go on every night and they have to have a show. And it seems like no major politician or media figure is above using these kinds of issues to build on the fear and whip their audiences and constituencies into a fever in order to accomplish their goal. Now, maybe the goal is just to get more clicks or to get more viewers or to get elected, but this is what's going on. So a friend of mine this weekend said one of the smartest things that I've heard on this topic. She said, you know, people are watching this political coverage 24 hours a day, and all they want to talk about is the election. And she said, you know, people are talking to me about it in elevators that I don't even know. And even in mild conversation with friends, it's who do you think is going to win, or what do you think about what happened this weekend? And we're only in the primary cycle. And it feels like it's heating up. If you get your McLuhan out, you know, and I don't want to get into a long discussion of Marshall McLuhan, who kind of wrote the book on what television media and radio media and all this other stuff. And I wonder what he would have thought of digital media. But it has an effect of heating people up or cooling people down. And this is what I mean by whipping people into a frenzy. You know, I get texts all the time and emails from people who want to know what I think is going on. And I tell them, honestly, you need to turn it off because, you know, it'll still be there tomorrow. And, you know, the news cleanse is now famous in the world because 2 or 3 years ago, I just said, you know what, I'm going to do a news cleanse for 3 months. I'm not going to pay any attention to any of it. And I'm going to see what I come up with to talk about and continue to podcast. And it was great. And a lot of my friends have done it. And we've gone out and come back. And, you know, as I said, under no means would I suggest that you simply stick your head in the sand. But occasionally, you've got to deglaze your mind. And I've also, as you know, covered a lot of these political events. And the bottom line is that the candidates and their staff are just people, and I really don't think they know much more about what's going on than you and I do, and we may actually know more. Certainly, they might know Congress, or they might know the governor's office, or they might know their world, but then we know our world as well. But they're being set up on television and in media and everywhere else as authorities on the world, and I don't know that they know any more than you and I know. And no, I would urge people to avoid the easy explanations and look beyond it all to get an idea about what is actually going on. And I think you can answer that question just as I can answer that question for myself most of the time. Well, one of the ways that I keep an even keel is to exercise a lot. It really helps me keep things on an even keel so I don't freak out when things happen. And if you have discovered that little benefit of exercise in your life, it's a great thing. And I don't know what you do for exercise. You guys know I practice yoga. I talk about being in crowded rooms over 100 degrees with high humidity. I double dip tonight. You end up sweating a lot, and you can easily get dehydrated even if you drink a lot of water. So what happened with me is I would be sore, and because I'm dumb, you know, I just would go back, and it didn't matter to me if I was sore. And then I found Hydrus, and Hydrus transformed my yoga practice. And where I am all over the place, when I'm in the truck, when I'm in the mobile podcast command unit, I talk about Hydrus, and I give bottles of Hydrus to people. And lots of people are starting to say, hey, you know what? This is transforming my physical training, whatever it is. So it doesn't matter if you cycle, do CrossFit, lift, or if you do competitive sports, you're going to find that Hydrus makes a huge difference. What is it? It's a high-performance beverage that uses exclusive nanosome technology, and what it does is it gets these critical electrolytes into your muscles with unrivaled speed and effectiveness, but there's no sugar. And you find sugar in all these traditional sports drinks, and you drink these things, you get the electrolytes, but you know, with the sugar, it doesn't help you either. So the reality is Hydrus is really a revolutionary tool because you get hydrated, and you get hydrated really fast and really effectively, and then you can take it to the edge. And that is what it's all about. And I've seen it once, I've seen it many, many times now in yoga, that when other people are sitting there, I can keep going because I have Hydrus. Join the performance hydration revolution. Give yourself the edge. Visit HydrusPerformance.com. That's HYDRUS, HydrusPerformance.com. So answering and explaining what is going on yourself, using your intuition and using your life experience, I think, you know, it means taking a hard look at the world that we live in. And I've said this before, and it should be said again, that most of us were born in a different age. And this is going to get to the nub of what I think is going on with a lot of people. Many of us, and I mean, I'm going to include people in their 20s in this. This isn't just an old guy thing. Most of us were born in a different age. We just don't want to admit that things have changed. You know, certainly the trappings of the world that we were born into are still around. One of the smartest things that I ever heard anybody said was in a documentary about Los Angeles in film and Los Angeles architecture. And I've talked about this before because I love the quote. And what was said was, you know, we live in the past because the buildings that we see, that we go into and that we use and the tools and everything else were built a long time ago. And the new world is being built right in our midst, but we live in the past because the buildings, as I said, and everything is old. Architecture lasts for a long time. So things look the same. But I went back home a few months ago for a high school reunion back in Chicago, and I was struck once again at how much things have changed. Now, when I was a boy, I lived in a suburban neighborhood. We started in the city, and then we moved to the suburbs. And I can still smell the new wood that new house smell as they build houses all around the neighborhood. And we used to play in the construction. We would go into the houses. My mom would say, "Don't go in there. You're going to step on a nail," you know, those things. There were no trees save for the brand new saplings that had been planted. And maybe there was a little older neighborhood that they had houses up that neighborhood. There were, but for the most part, there was really no trees. Behind the house was a huge field and a forest and a literal 100-acre wood. And then that went from our back door all the way to the high school about a mile away. And we could go in that field and get lost and play in that field all day long. And it was almost as though the houses weren't even there. When my parents went on trips, they would ask their friends, and their friends were named the Gillettes, and they would ask the Gillettes to come over and take care of us. And the Gillettes were real Scots. They had two collies. They had, I think they were named, believe it or not, Laddie and Lassie. I'm not kidding. And they drove a metallic red 1963 Galaxy hardtop, and they lived on a farm about half a mile to a mile from our house, or at least that was my understanding. And so at one end of where we lived, there was a gas station that sold milk and cigarettes and stuff like that. And that was down a two-lane highway on one side of the neighborhood. When we wanted groceries, we had to go to a place called Rudy's. I don't even know where Rudy's was, but it had a conveyor belt or some kind of contraption that allowed them to put the groceries into this slot that would come out to your car, and then some guy would put the groceries in your car. Now, Byerly's here in Minneapolis and St. Paul has had that for years, but when that started, it was a big, big thing. And I loved that. I was fascinated by that thing. Or if we wanted anything else, pants, whatever, we had to go into town. I can remember buying we'd buy our new clothes for school at Sears. So I'd get a pair of jeans that were like cardboard because they were brand new and some shirts and whatever. And those were your clothes. And, you know, we lived pretty good. We had a good middle class life. The other thing is, in terms of communications, and I could go on and on about the cars and all that stuff because we still have cars and we still have roads. We had a party line, which my sister talks about, which meant when you picked the phone up, you might hear the neighbors on the line. And that was pretty late that people still had party lines. And now, you know, you go back and the area is built up. It has been for a long time. There is no field behind the house anymore. It's all gone. The high school is a complex of buildings. The farm that burned down became a housing development years and years ago, and I'm sure that the Gillettes and their dogs are long gone. But there are so many more changes that are going on than just the ones that you can see. So there are still cars, there are still phones, there are still houses, there are still washing machines, there are still refrigerators, all those things still exist, but things have changed. The internal workings of these devices have changed. And so have the demographics in the world and in our country. There are more people, and there are more people of different origins than what we used to be in those days. You hear a lot about the nationalization of the country. And again, I've actually seen a lot of the country in the last few months driving through, and there are still places, and places are still different than other places. People don't realize that because communications today are worldwide. They are instant. The smartphone and the internet have completely changed how we communicate and who we communicate with. It has changed where we get our information and how much information we get. I was out to dinner with friends this weekend, and it's just amazing how, you know, you talk about stuff and immediately you're like, should we Wikipedia it? You know, should we do a search? Should we Google it? And you do, and it's my phone, my new iPhone is just as fast as the computer at home. So you're carrying around this incredible tool in your hand, and that's just one thing. When I was growing up, a guy came out and pumped your gas for you. There were cashiers at all of the grocery stores, as there still are, but here's the thing. When my son is my age, there won't be any cashiers in any store anywhere, and more than likely, you'll just take stuff off the shelf and walk out the door with it because they'll know what you have, and it'll get charged to your device of some kind. Autonomous software of all kinds makes us able to amplify ourselves and any cause or interest that we have to whatever level we're capable of. Hence, all of this conspiracy theory and all of these theories about the end of the world, which are presented and look very similar to network television newscasts. Someone can elevate themselves and get a million views on YouTube, which is actually more in any given day than CNN or MSNBC have watching their shows. But you don't know about it because what you know about is CNN or Fox News, because that's what everyone thinks is going on. So when you combine all that, and then you look at things like artificial intelligence and robotics being a burgeoning technology, which means already an industry that is going to physically change our world, then the world is ending. It's been ending for a long time, and the changes that are coming are going to be significant. You will see and feel them, and they are revolutionary, even tectonic. Now, most people know this. We've heard about it. We hear it all the time, but we don't really think too much about it because we're living our lives. We're doing what we do every single day. And I bring it up because at the same time, the basic building blocks of our society are changing. So are the institutions. If you know history, think back to 1929 in the United States. The old country, the country of the 20s and 10s and before World War I even, was swept away by the Depression. And the institutions that were put in place from 1930 on through 1950 are starting to be swept away in our time. And some of the things that we've done going back to the 1930s have been flexible, supple even, and have been able to change to accommodate new ideas. But other institutions in our society, parts of our government, and parts of our world have not been as flexible. And like big old trees that can't bend anymore in the wind, eventually they're going to come down. Or eventually what causes them to fall is their root system just fails. And I'm talking about big institutions in every part of our society, religious institutions, government institutions, social institutions that we've grown up with, no matter how old we are disappearing because they cannot keep up with the changes. And I guess it's up to us to figure out how and when to plant the seeds of new institutions and incorporate the old ways into new ways, because that happens too. You know, there's old things that become new again and new things that disappear. But the reality is, with all this change, there are a lot of people who are afraid, and there are a lot of people who, through that fear, are trying to find simple explanations, and the world is too complex. There are no longer simple explanations for things. No matter how much information people have, they cannot make the leap, the adjustment. They can't greet these changes with any kind of enthusiasm. Now, don't get me wrong. Not all of these changes are going to be positive. Some of them are going to be very negative. Terrifying, in fact, and they're going to have to be managed. And at any time, we can have major change or we can have terrifying results in the political system or outside the political system, depending on what is happening. And people are going to react in fear. And some people will manufacture boogeymen in the closet, whether it is Planet X, whether it is the apocalypse or the aliens, and so on. And these things can be true. I doubt it, but you never know. And if they happen, they happen. But there are a lot of these things these days that scare the hell out of people, and they don't know how to manage it. And this is why I say, to really understand what is going on, we've got to look into ourselves to figure it out. How do we manage it? How do we develop new institutions and new ideas for the future? And that actually is the hard part because, yes, the world is ending. And that is the part that we're going to have to work on individually. So when people ask me what's going on, maybe I should just say, yeah, the world's ending. And what are you going to do about it? And I think when people, what we as human beings and as human animals psychologically, I think we think of it as fire and destruction and things of that nature. You know, we could probably be hit by an asteroid, and we probably will be hit by an asteroid someday. I don't know when. I couldn't possibly predict it. But we're not going to be able to move forward and get out of that fear if we don't look at our values and figure out what we believe in and figure out why we're afraid and what to do about it. What part of the new can we embrace? When I talk to people who are in their 60s and 70s, a lot of them don't want to embrace anything new, and yet they've got an iPhone in their purse or an iPhone in their back pocket. So they've embraced it. They just don't feel like or know or they haven't grokked that they've already embraced it. How would you help people who might not have the enthusiasm for the future that you have? Why are they afraid? Why are they depressed? Why can't they go on? Why are they afraid of the end of the world? Why is it that age has affected them in this way? I mean, I don't have the answers to those questions, but those are the questions that I ask. Why do all my friends talk about people who are dying all the time? I don't understand it because I feel like I'm 15. You know, I'm super enthusiastic about the future. But I can tell you the conversations that I had when I'm 30 are not the conversations that I have with people today, and it's sad. And what's coming is going to affect everything. It's going to affect the weather. It's going to affect the money. It's going to affect the government. It's going to affect leaders. It's going to affect religion. It's going to affect our spirit. It's going to affect the politicians. It's going to affect the media or infect the media, depending on what the case may be. How we use these tools is really the key, because that's all they are, is their tools. It's not a lake of fire. It's not the apocalypse. It's not an asteroid. It's not Planet X. It's not aliens. It's us. We're creating these things out of our own psychologies to explain things that we don't feel we have the capacity to explain. And that's why I tell people to turn it off every now and then and just listen to ourselves, to hear the track in our own mind and assess what's going on in your own mind first. Where did that thought come from? What's that? And if we can pay attention to what we're actually thinking about, then I think that's half the battle. Is something going to happen? Without a doubt, something is going to happen. The question is what? Because nobody can really say. And there are charlatans that will be happy to tell you what is going to happen. But something new is coming. We can't go back and we can't go sideways and we can only go through it. Now, you guys know how I feel about the current political process. You know I think the media has failed us. You know I think the political process is failing us. It's in the act of failing us. We're seeing the breakdown of two political parties. And this is part of the gathering storm that we have no choice but to trim the sails and head into. Now, we can be afraid of it, or we can look at it as the beginning of a great adventure. I think we are going into a great age. I think we're going into an age that we will see incredible things, and we'll see them before many of us leave the planet. And it's going to be a hell of a ride. So strap yourself in and let's get going. Now, don't forget Hydrus. People ask me all the time, what is this Hydrus stuff you're talking about? It's great. It will make a huge difference in your physical fitness training, whatever it is that you do. CrossFit, if you're lifting, or even if you just do like cross-country skiing or walk, it can make a huge difference in your life. And they're doing studies on it, and we're learning all kinds of things about hydration and what it does. Very effective method for hydration. Check it out online at hydrusperformance.com. That's H-Y-D-R-U-S, hydrusperformance.com. If you go to the website, it'll tell you all about how it works, how to use it, what it is, and why it's great, because it's not like all the other traditional sports drinks where you also get the sugar, because there's no sugar in Hydrus, and I'll tell you more about it going forward. Thanks again also to Brush Studio. Again, if you're the CEO or the person who has to plan these events, you will feel like it's the end of the world when you're trying to figure out how to do something that everybody wants to do. So check out Brush Studio in the West End. Best thing for me to do is just direct you to their website, brushstudio.net, or you can call them at 952-236-1700, 952-236-1700. It helps bring your team's creative ideas out, and they'll tell you all about it and how it works. Brush Studio, and thanks again for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Now, I have mentioned on a couple of different occasions that I was going to have a special announcement about the Bob Davis Podcast radio show, and I didn't want to say anything until we actually did it, but the Bob Davis Podcast radio show is a syndicated radio show. We're in the process of trying to get affiliates across the country. It is a condensation of a lot of the podcasts that I've done, because one of the things I've learned about podcasting is that it is very content rich. And so I'm trying to take some of the content from these podcasts back to the radio. And that is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show, which if you want to hear it right now, you can listen to GCNlive.com and you find my name and you can listen to them. But it debuted this weekend at AM 1280 The Patriot in Minneapolis. So if you guys are looking for me on the radio, 5 p.m. on Saturdays at AM 1280 The Patriot. And that is our first affiliate. So I'm really happy. And I want to thank Lee Michaels, the program director of the station, for putting the Bob Davis Podcast radio show on. Let me know what you think if you hear it. And thanks to the sponsors, as well as GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, and the folks at Salem and AM 1280 The Patriot in Minneapolis and St. Paul. And thank you for listening to the podcast on Stitcher.com, iTunes. Tune in to the Bob Davis Podcast radio show on AM 1280 The Patriot or GCN Live. And really, thanks for liking, sharing, and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I'm BDavis7843 on Instagram, and I love Instagram. It's like my favorite social media. It's more exciting to me than Facebook or Twitter. And especially thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks again also to Alpha Systems. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Pilots, you know what I'm talking about. You want to get there, but you want to get there safely. And takeoffs and landings can be dangerous. The bottom line, Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. Find out all about it. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening to podcast 476.
I never met you, but I know you're out there. If I cross the oceans, would you be there?
A stranger's eyes.